Our series of congressional candidate forums continues on the Ideas Network as we welcome in the candidates running in Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. This district covers much of northeastern Wisconsin, including the cities of Appleton and Green Bay, and it's considered one of the most competitive congressional districts in the state, the most competitive. It features a rematch from 2 years ago when Appleton Democrat and allergist Steve Kagan narrowly defeated the Republican candidate, the former Speaker of the State Assembly, John Gard. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio at 7:36 on this Tuesday, October the 21st. And we will start our forums with the Republican candidate, John Gard, today. He will answer your questions until 8 o'clock this morning. The Democratic candidate, the incumbent, Steve Kagan, will join us tomorrow at this time. Our number is 1-800-642-1234. These forums are for you to ask questions of the candidates who want to represent you in Washington. 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us, talk@wpr.org. John Gard is the Republican candidate for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. He is the former Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us. Mm-hmm. What do you think, John Gard, is the most important issue in your race?
I believe we need to just focus as much as we can on trying to help people improve their standard of living and increase economic development, economic growth, solve our energy policy, but all of it is linked back to people needing to grow and improve their standard of living. Folks are working so hard and getting to the end of the week with less money in their pocket. I think, there's pressure on taxes. There's so many costs in their daily life, gas, groceries, health care, you name it. All those things that they can't live without are going up in cost, and their income is not rising that fast. So I believe there's significant differences on those approaches between Mr. Kagan and myself, and I think that's one of the reasons the race is so significant.
Yeah. So why would you be better for these folks with their gas bills and grocery bills and standard of living issues than Representative Kagan?
Well, since Mr. Kagan's been in office in the last 2 years, 2 years ago, we obviously had a very competitive race. He promised to balance the federal budget, not raise taxes, and pork barrel spending, get the nation's spending under control, have a policy to drive down the price of gas, and a variety of things like that people, I think, said, well, we'll give him a chance. Since then, he's voted to more than double the federal deficit, support significant tax hikes, voted for over 12,000 earmarks and pork barrel spending items, a variety of things that I think have eroded even more confidence in our federal government, but ultimately makes it harder for the nation's government to solve some of the bigger issues out there. You come back to energy, I am a big proponent of drilling up in Anwar, of drilling in the Outer Continental Shelf, and of exploring and drilling for shale oil in the western U.S., because we cannot be as competitive as we need to be and allow people to increase their standard of living if we're getting 70% of our oil from foreign governments. And that's a very vulnerable position for this nation to be in. I support American drilling. Congressman Kagan has repeatedly and consistently opposed it. And 2 years into the first term, there is no extra drilling or exploring in the U.S. And I think that has really damaged our ability to grow this economy.
Yeah, what about Democrats who say that the oil companies already have leases to do drilling, but they're not using them?
Virtually every lease or exploration a permit that has been filed in the United States in the last 4 years is held up in court right now. So in some cases, people go and get drilling permits or leasing rights or exploration rights, and as soon as they get them, then some groups will file restraining orders in court, and a lot of those are held up. Fundamentally, I believe, hey, if there is opportunities where they neglect to drill, then I think we should be much firmer and allow other people to come in and do it themselves. But the goal here is to save people money. And while, thankfully, the gas price has been going down a bit here in the last couple weeks, I think most people feel like it's just a matter of time before it shoots back up. And when you get 70% of your oil from other countries in a manufacturing-based economy like we have in northeastern Wisconsin, a lot of families up here are at the mercy of foreign governments. And I think that is a bad place for the United States to be. It's a bad place for northeastern Wisconsin to be. And it puts enormous strain on the average family's pocketbook here in northeastern Wisconsin. One out of four people here make a living off of manufacturing. A lot of those manufacturers use petroleum-based products in their manufacturing process, or in their, you know, obviously energy costs, things like that. It is really straining people's ability to get ahead after a long week of work, and I think I can do better.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you a little bit, John Gard, about the closing of the Kimberly-Clark paper mill. That place is near and dear to me because my dad used to work there. And
you mean the New Page when it used to be?
Right. When it used to be Kimberly-Clark, that's when he worked there. But New Page shut down the mill in Kimberly. What would you propose to do, if anything, to keep those folks working in Kimberly?
Well, we certainly want to do everything we can to make it cost competitive. And you go over and you look at that facility, and it's not the only one. There's been a variety of paper mills that have had very unfortunate closings or reductions in payroll. I have a brother who works up at Fort Howard in Green Bay, and I think everybody understands that paper is just the paper market. Paper is evolving. One of my best friends growing up worked at New Page, and the reality is, we've got to do everything we can on the cost side to make Wisconsin employers be able to compete. Second of all, the federal government's got to be much more aggressive on enforcing anti-dumping provisions, enforcing fair trade, and certainly making sure that we are doing everything we can to make Wisconsin employers compete. And then finally, you obviously have an investment group and a private equity firm that is making decisions at New Page that I think have been very unfortunate and misguided. And hopefully, over time here, very soon, there will be some better news in the future. But you can't watch energy prices skyrocket, blame everybody else, and then when a plant closes down, again, not assume any responsibility. And while I think Mr. Kagan and others have tried to get out and try and be somewhat helpful, the reality is a lot of the impact of their decisions have driven up energy costs and make, whether it's New Page, Fort Howard, or Procter & Gamble, or you name the manufacturer up here, it makes their cost of doing business incredibly higher than it has to be and makes them uncompetitive. And my hope is that we can get the anti-dumping provisions under control. Bill Clinton, I believe, should never have given China most favored nation status. That's what happened, and I think we've got to just do what we can to make sure American manufacturers can compete.
We will take phone calls for John Gard after we check the weather. Our lines are full right now, but you can still send an email, talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking for the rest of this hour with John Gard, Republican candidate for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. He is challenging the Democratic incumbent, Steve Kagan. Steve Kagan will be with us at this time tomorrow to answer your questions. To the phones now for John Gard, Alex in Manawa is first. Hi, Alex, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. John, quick question, twofold. Number one is, would you... of course, the jury's still out on the bailout/rescue program, but would you have voted for or against that? And then secondly, what is your philosophy going forward about the federal government intervening in markets? If you could please answer those. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Alex. First of all, I would have voted against the final package that came before us, but I believe most people should be very upset and very frustrated that there was a need for a bailout package in the first place. And I believe that the root of all of the problems on the meltdown economically in the financial markets came from some folks in investment banks and that with a high level of greed, with some folks in organizations like Fannie Mae with an absolute disregard for a proper accounting and a complete disregard for responsible mortgage practices. And, you know, while I think there's a lot of folks in Congress who have responsibility for that, in the last 2 years, in May of 2007, Congressman Kagan voted to reduce the capital requirements for Fannie Mae's to accept mortgages, which means they removed even any oversight almost to get a mortgage and to have any collateral. So they allowed more bad debt. They weakened regulation. Then you get to January of 2008, and in January 2008, Congressman Kagan voted along with a lot of members of Congress to increase the loan limits. And what that meant was all of this bad debt from California, New York, Arizona, and Florida got dumped on the Fannie Mae because Congress allowed it to happen. And sure enough, 6 months later, Fannie Mae goes belly up, and Congress again comes in and bails them out. Congressman Kagan voted for it and left the middle-class taxpayers in Wisconsin holding the bag for irresponsible, greedy decision made by people in Fannie Mae and on the coast. So now he's not only the only part of the problem, but he is part of the problem. And our congressmen voted to deregulate and weaken regulations in Fannie Mae, allow bad debt to be increased, and stuck middle-class Wisconsin families with the cost. And the executives at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have walked out with millions. If people aren't upset about that action, then you kind of wonder what would they be upset about. It has eroded confidence in our economy. It's eroded confidence in the markets, and certainly shows that there are a lot of people in Congress who simply were not doing their job. And so, you know, the fundamental problem I had with the last bailout, and by the way, there's been three bailouts this year, Fannie Mae in July, which Steve Kagan voted for, the automobile manufacturers a couple weeks ago, which Steve Kagan voted for, and then the last big one that got most of the press, which Steve Kagan voted against. But he did vote for the first two. And I believe the actions in the mortgage market led to the need for a final bailout, which is really unfortunate that it ever got to that point. Now, the last part of the big bailout, I felt it, and I still believe, it is not a good policy to put that much financial power in the hands of one individual at the Secretary of Treasury. And I maintain that belief. I think that is a mistake, and I hope it's something that can be corrected when I have an opportunity to serve in Congress.
Yeah, let me clarify. You thought that the final bailout of Wall Street was needed to stop the deep recession on Main Street, as it was put, that you or not?
I would have voted against the final bailout, but I think most people that I talk to say we needed to do something. I just believe that the answer they came up with was not acceptable, and I would have voted no. But I go back to, you know, what really should infuriate people is that mm-hmm. there was a need for one in the first place. And Congress, I think, holds the highest level of responsibility for deregulating the housing market that led to a bunch of bad debt from the east and west coast of the U.S. being dumped on families in northeastern Wisconsin. It's hurt people in their IRAs, in their 401ks. It hurt people long-term in their tax responsibility for this government. And it has eroded confidence in this economy. And a lot of folks, whether it's in Manawa by Alex or in other parts of Wisconsin, these families who work hard every day had no responsibility for what has happened, yet they're left holding the bag. And the fact of the matter is, Steve Kagan voted to deregulate, to weaken regulations, to allow bad debt to be increased in Fannie Mae, and then bail out Fannie Mae, which ultimately means the taxpayers are holding the bag. And it is just a fundamental fact and a difference in this race.
Another caller now, Tom in Burlington. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. I studied economics at Georgetown University in the School of Foreign Service. And I was calling on a different idea, but
well,
we do have
Tom,
to
I need
them
you.
Out.
We, yeah. What, what's
right.
your question for our guest?
The question is this: if any past performance is an indicator of future performance, I would just like to ask you this: when I supported civil unions for Wisconsin, one of the reasons was the Federation of Pediatrics said we can save $500 million a year if we put give a child two parents. Now you were against civil unions twice. And there was never an economic impact study done on this bill. You pushed it through twice, but there was no impact cost study done on it. Is this the way you're going to approach other problems when you get into Washington?
Hmm. All right.
I supported allowing the voters of Wisconsin to decide what marriage meant. and an overwhelming majority of people in Wisconsin believed marriage should be one man, one woman, which I support. We did not want a judge in Wisconsin define that. I believed that families in Wisconsin, people in Wisconsin from all walks of life, could make that decision and should make that decision. So we gave them a public referendum, and they decided. And I'm, you know, perfectly comfortable with the decision they came up to. Regardless of what that decision was, I just felt people in Green Bay and Manawa and Burlington should be able to make that decision, not have a court force that upon them. And so marriage, one man, one woman, which I support, is the law of the land.
Yeah. Dustin in Whitewater is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Joy. Good morning.
Morning.
John, I got a question for you. My little sister works for your campaign, actually. Her name's Chelsea. You might have met her.
Yeah.
I heard the other day that you were supposed to have a debate with Steve Kagan that he did not show up for, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that. And then I also have one more question about the tax plan for John McCain and Barack Obama, on which one you support.
Yeah.
Now,
Dustin, I'm sorry, we've got such limited time, and now we have two pretty big questions on the table. So I don't know about this. Steve Kagan didn't show up for a debate. Was there a good reason, do you think, John Gard?
Well, let's just put it this way. We're going to have a debate tonight in Green Bay and one Thursday in Appleton. We would love to have had others. There was one with a bunch of medical providers in Green Bay where he came late and left after 12 minutes. But, you know, hey, I got to focus on moving forward and stay focused on letting people understand what the difference is. And hopefully in tonight's debate Thursday's debate, people will get a better understanding that I more clearly represent the vast majority of people in northeastern Wisconsin, certainly much more effectively than Steve Kagan would, and I'm sure he'll try and make the other case. But
let me mention that there is a debate that is tonight that is in Green Bay, but people can see it. It says here on the Post Crescent website, postcrescent.com, will be live streaming that debate starting at 7 o'clock tonight. So anyway, go ahead.
No, I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So Dustin did want to know what you thought of tax policies of the presidential candidates.
Yeah, I think there is a variety of things that I feel very strongly about, and without delving deep into the presidential ones, I think Senator McCain makes some progress here. I don't support his position on health care, on taxing some benefits. Some health care benefits as income. I think that I'm not a supporter or fan of that. But I come back to the difference in this congressional race. In this congressional race, Congressman Kagan has voted to raise taxes by $1,800 on every family in northeastern Wisconsin. He voted for dramatic spending hikes, and he voted to more than double the federal deficit, more than double it, after he promised he'd balance the federal budget. He and his folks in Congress, one of the reasons I think they are struggling in public approval is because they promised to be different, and it's just been more of the same. So on taxes, I don't believe we should take a family with three kids and cut their per-child credit in half, like Steve Kagan voted to do. And there are a variety of other tax differences. Obviously, we probably don't have time to go into today, but I fundamentally believe we should not be raising taxes at a time when families are struggling to pay their bills.
Do you agree with Joe the Plumber that Barack Obama's tax policies sound like socialism?
You know, redistribution of wealth programs where you continue to tax people who are working hard and trying to get ahead, you know, long term, I think, erode the ability for us to be competitive internationally. I mean, we live in a country where we want to make things in northeastern Wisconsin and sell them around the world. 5% of the world's population live here. 95% live in other places that we want to sell things to. And we have the second highest taxed. We are the second highest taxed country in the industrialized world. If people just sit back, reflect upon that, and think about how you compete in a global economy, we should not be raising taxes. I think it would make us less competitive and make it more likely that jobs leave and go other places. And the world, in a figurative sense, has gotten a lot smaller. It's easier to move companies around, and I would hope that we would do everything in our power to make America and northeastern Wisconsin the best place to create new manufacturing jobs and not continue to point fingers when they leave after you voted to raise their taxes.
So short on time, but other callers waiting, so let's go to Steve in Fish Creek. Very briefly, Steve, because we're almost out of time.
John, I'm a Republican, but I also feel that we're running out of oil, and there's not enough offshore oil to make it even worthwhile to make that one of your campaign platforms. With the price dropping, when are we going to see something positive come from you about alternative solutions? Do you believe in global warming?
Steve, if you go on my website, you'll find out, you'll see, and I've talked about this every step of the way. I'm an all-of-the-above kind of guy, and I believe if we went up into ANWR, by the way, we have the largest reserves on the planet right now that are known when you add in shale oil. But you can make the federal government could make $200 billion in leasing rights alone from royalties and taxes by leasing that land out. I support taking a massive amount of that money and investing it in a Manhattan-type project for the most significant renewable and alternative fuel research and development program in world history in the United States. We could be the leader in renewable and alternative energy. We have to do that. But in the short term, there are a lot of hardworking folks, whether it's in Fish Creek and Lena, where I grew up, or in Green Bay, Wisconsin, who cannot afford to have the government make them a social experiment and ensure that gas prices are $4 a gallon to obtain some sort of social, experiment-type program. People are strapped financially. They're working hard, and we should be doing what we can to drive the price of gas down. And the last piece of this is, if we got 70% of our food from another country, we'd start growing our own crops. We're getting 70% of our oil from other countries, and members of Congress are fiddling around and not doing anything about it when we have all of these reserves in the U.S. Is it the only part of the problem? No.
Yeah.
But it can certainly help in the short term and bridge the gap to long-term energy independence.
We have to leave it there. John Gard, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
John Gard, Republican candidate for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. He and the incumbent Democrat Steve Kagan will be debating tonight at UW Green Bay and again on Thursday night at Lawrence University in Appleton. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.